Hot. Bring the heat.
And now, your host, Pat Rouleau.
Welcome to Speak Up Talk Radio. This program gets behind the environmental, social, political, educational, spiritual, and health decisions that affect our lives and futures, yet are not always determined by us, but rather by politics, business, and other self-interest groups. Investigative in nature, we go where mainstream stops. As a leader in the healthcare and patient safety world, I now expose current and relevant harms and charms that either endanger or improve our health, our freedom, our privacy, and our sanity. Most of us simply don't have time to pay attention to decisions that are being made on our behalf, decisions made by people who may have less than altruistic motives. And often we don't speak up because we are not aware. Well, this program changes that by being the voice for informed choice. I am your hostess, Pat Rouleau. So happy that we're together once again. And as usual, I have lots to share today, so let's get started, shall we? Boomerangs and post-hospital rehabilitation. Let's say you have an unexpected hospital stay. You're driving to the grocery store, feel clammy, dizzy, your heart is racing. Could you be having a heart attack? You pull over and call 911, and within minutes, you're zooming to the hospital. Sure enough, it's your heart, and you're rushed to surgery. While recovering, you developed pneumonia, which keeps you in the hospital longer than normal. Come time to be discharged, and you're just not quite ready to go home safely. So now what? Where do you go? I know. There's a rehab place right around the corner from you. That's where you'll go. It's so convenient for your family to visit you there. And that, my friends, is how most people pick a place to rehabilitate after a hospital stay. How do I know? Because that is how we picked a place for my mom. I mean, who really gives rehab a thought during your everyday world? No one. So back in 2012, my mom was suddenly faced with a hospital stay, and after 4 months was ready to be discharged to a rehabilitation center. The folks at the hospital asked, where would you like to take your mom? I don't know. Does the place on Blankety Blank Road offer the services my mom will need? If so, it's about 45 seconds away from my home. Why, yes, they do. We'll arrange for her to go there. At that point in time, I was just relieved to be getting her out of the hospital. But little did I know that the rehab location decision was a pivotal decision. A decision that could either put mom on the path to going back home, or a decision that could send her back to the hospital. Boomerang for me. I picked door number 2, and eventually we did end up back in the hospital due to lack of care and lack of knowledge on the staff's part. Now, I should have known we were in deep trouble when my mom's multiple hospital charts did not precede us. Had I known then what I know now, I would have asked to carry the chart with us in the ambulance ride from the hospital to the rehab facility. But silly me, I didn't know better, and I just assumed that people would do their job correctly. So when we arrived, no one knew why she was there. No one knew she was a complicated diagnostic mess that required precision at every move. So armed with absolutely no information, this prompted the intake nurse to stand over my mom's bed and ask questions. And as I painted the picture of the last few months in the hospital and told her how mom had a right ventricular assist device implanted for a few weeks, her reply was, "Oh, so then she requested to have it removed, right?" What? Well, now to give you a tiny bit of background as to why that is a totally preposterous question, a VAD, V-A-D, an abbreviation for ventricular assist device, VAD, is a mechanical pump that's used to support heart function and blood flow in people who have weakened hearts. A VAD has several basic parts. A small tube carries blood out of your heart into a pump. Another tube carries blood from the pump to your blood vessels, which deliver the blood to your body. It looked like an external heart that also has a power source that connects to a control unit. Now, during this entire period of time, my mom was in intensive care, also on several other machines, breathing tubes and so on, in addition to the VAD. In fact, the breathing tube was taped to her face, leaving her unable to speak. So for the rehab nurse to suggest that the patient would request to have their ventricular assist device removed as if it were a Band-Aid on a boo-boo is sheer and utter nonsense. Her lack of understanding rendered me speechless. I shook my head inside my mind. Well, this initial encounter raised my red flags, and sure enough, my gut feeling did not disappoint. The entire stay was filled with one mistake after another, one miscommunication after another, and a whole bunch of missed days of physical therapy, thus perpetuating a bed sore into a full stage 4 to-the-bone gaping hole on her backside. And when they did manage to get her to therapy, she was too weak and frightened to do much, so they held a secret meeting and began to administer antidepressant drugs, hoping my mom would suddenly run around during therapy. Well, this quickly escalated to full-blown hallucinations due to the constant tinkering with these mind-altering drugs to the point that we almost lost her. And all of this foolishness landed her back in the hospital, and so we boomeranged until we got it right, until Bob and I discovered a place for her to rehabilitate that really spent the time to work with her. And so the moral of this story is there are certain things in life that require forethought, and not afterthought or in-the-moment thought, because during a crisis, you don't have time to think properly and surely do not have time to research. Health emergencies do not announce themselves in advance. They do not pencil themselves in on your calendar. They attack when least expected, leaving you to react. And a decision based on a shocked reaction never bodes well for the outcome. So I strongly suggest that you think about where you would want to go to rehabilitate after a hospital stay, because it really is your choice. The hospital, your doctors and nurses may suggest some places or give you a list, but they legally cannot tell you which to use. That is your decision. So take a moment this week to think about this. Where would you want to go to safely rehabilitate after a hospital stay? Do you have an answer? And if you do, do you know why that is your answer? Is it because it's convenient? Well, that's a good answer, but not good enough. Because you've actually been in the facility, taken a tour, talked to the staff and residents? Now, that's a good answer, and one that doesn't take more than an hour to accomplish. Trust your gut by seeing the place for yourself. Bring a friend or a family member with you to help with the decision. Don't be a boomerang, flying around back and forth from hospital to rehabs simply because your decisions are based on guessing. Make a solid and a safe decision this week. And remember, your decisions are like a boomerang. Whatever you decide always comes back at you.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
Hi, this is Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast, where we hear from the healthcare system's hidden workforce, the millions of family caregivers whose stories of devotion and courage will shock and inspire you. Join me as we shake up the conversation on care. And know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode every week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. That's AgeWYZ.com.
If you or someone you know is in the caregiver role, check out her website and purchase her book. Visit AgeWYZ.com, and that's spelled AgeWYZ. Or give her a call, 800-590-2129. That's 800-590-2129.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I would love for you to become a part of my world. Mrs. Green's World is an engaged international community and a global movement of ideas and action made up of people who truly care about their own health and the health of this great planet of ours. In Mrs. Green's World, we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com and become a part of our world.
She is a dear friend of mine with lots to share with you. She even has a book, and you can reach her by phone at 520-230-3977. That's 520-230-3977. Or visit her website, MrsGreensWorld.com. Whether looking to sell your home at top market value or searching for your dream home at a competitive price, the McCaskey team can help. As the top producing real estate team in Geauga County and Northeast Ohio, the McCaskey team knows what it takes to guide you through the home buying and selling process. How do I know this? They sold my mom's home in less than a week, so I have firsthand experience. They are a part of RE/MAX traditions, so give my friends, Dan or Terry, the opportunity to help you too. They're located on Chardon Square at 139 Main Street. Give them a call, 440-773-5542. That is 440-773-5542. Or visit their website, McCaskeyTeam.com. That's McCaskeyTeam.com. McCaskeyTeam.com.
And now, back to the show.
Right now, I have an author with me who has written a book for our times, a story about the timeless struggle between mothers and their teen daughters with social media as the backdrop. She is Herta B. Feely. Herta is the author of numerous short stories and memoir published in literary journals and anthologies. She received a degree in Latin American history at UC Berkeley and has also completed her studies at the university's graduate journalism program. And from Johns Hopkins University, she received a Master of Arts in Writing. And I'm just thrilled to learn more and share her with you, so welcome to the show, Herta.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's a pleasure to be here.
We wrote a very important book for our times, as I mentioned at the top, that really focuses in on our youth today, social media, cyberbullying. So tell us how that grabbed your interest and why you decided to write the book titled Saving Phoebe Murrow.
One day I saw an article, this was in 2008, in the Washington Post about a young teen girl who was cyberbullied and then committed suicide. That girl's name was Megan Meyer, and the cyberbullying was led by a 16-year-old boy named Josh Evans. And he and Megan had been flirting on MySpace for a while. MySpace was kind of the precursor to Facebook. In the course of that cyberbullying, he suggested that Megan kill herself, and sadly, she did. And as I read that article, what was really horrifying was the fact that Josh really wasn't Josh. He was a 47-year-old woman who was a neighbor of Megan's. And so essentially, you know, that woman was behind Megan killing herself. She was a mother, and her daughter had been friends with Megan. I think they had a falling out. And this mom wanted to see what Megan was saying about her daughter. It was so shocking to me that someone would do this that almost right away I had the idea that I needed to write a novel to understand how a woman could do such a thing to a child. I think part of the appeal of the story is its timeliness. There's a lot of cyberbullying out there. Social media is constantly in the news. That's kind of how the book came about.
So the name of that book is Saving Phoebe Murrow. Give us a little synopsis of that.
While I was that story of Megan Meyer inspired me. This story it's not a recreation of that story. Saving Phoebe Murrow is a completely separate story, but it is about a girl who gets cyberbullied, and that happens right in the first chapter. She's also a girl. She's 13. She's just starting high school. She's going to a school here in Washington, D.C. Her mother is a high-powered lawyer who's juggling work and family, and she does know that her daughter cuts. She self-harms in the form of cutting when she feels emotionally overwhelmed. So that's another aspect of the story. The story very much deals with mother-daughter relationships. It deals with friendships and loyalty and betrayal. My character, Phoebe, has a best friend, Jessie, and another one named Emma. They are very stalwart friends, and they've seen her through a lot. She has a kind of nemesis named Skyla, who she is hoping will not be at this same school. She's not supposed to be coming to the same school, but of course then she does end up there. Phoebe also is interested in boys and has her eye on a guy. We know at the very beginning of the story that Phoebe might harm herself because of the cyberbullying that's happened.
Now, you chose to use cutting as a way for her to inflict harm, and nothing like that went on when we were in school. And I have a daughter who is a marriage and family therapist, and she said, Mom, you wouldn't believe the number of families that I work with where this is a problem. So why did you choose that?
Honestly, I didn't even know anybody who cut. Mm-hmm. But suddenly that was the thing that came into my mind, that this girl cuts. And I wrote those scenes where she's cutting and where she's finding relief from her emotions when she cuts. And I contacted a researcher at Cornell University who is there at the sort of forefront of working on and researching self-harm, self-injury, cutting. And I had asked her to read some of those sections, some of those scenes, to see if they were realistic. And the thing that surprised me the most was she said, yes, they're very realistic. And honestly, I hadn't done any research. I do want to say that the researcher told me that cutting sort of replaced anorexia and bulimia, which were the main ways in which girls were self-harming before the mid-90s. And in the mid-90s, it was Angelina Jolie mm-hmm. who apparently admitted to cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, she said, it's like a cultural thing that we hear about it and then we imitate it. Because I remember before that, I remember hearing so many mothers tell me of their girls who were suffering from anorexia mm-hmm. or bulimia.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, it's all about cutting.
Wow.
So it's a very interesting phenomenon.
Absolutely. As you're saying that, I'm realizing as well, you don't hear about anorexia or bulimia anymore. Very interesting how kind of becomes this weird fad. As we're talking about this, I'm wondering, are these risks and challenges, whether it's self-harm and cutting and the dangers of social media, do you find that as dramatic for teenage boys?
You know, the funny thing is there are actually more boys who are cyberbullied than girls. But for some reason, we seem to talk about it more in relationship to girls. I don't know why that is.
How did we get here?
It all started with the internet. We are a global community, whether we want to be or not. We've got something called the World Wide Web, WWW, right? And it links us all. And you know, social media can have a very positive effect. If there are parents who are listening, I would suggest to them a couple of things. They really need to educate themselves about social media. What are the social media apps that their children might be using? There is an organization based in Washington, but it's on the internet, and it's called the Family Online Safety Institute. It's AFOSI.org, and they have tons of information about, quote-unquote, good digital parenting, and that is unfortunately, parents now have that additional responsibility. And I know from my Safe Kids days how difficult it is to be a parent and to just provide the basics for your child. Mm-hmm. So now we have to add one more thing to the list.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if your child is cyberbullied, or if you know of someone who's being cyberbullied, there are steps that need to be taken and that ought to be taken. And one of the places where you can find help is the Megan Meyer Foundation. So the girl that I was mentioning earlier who was in the article who committed suicide, her mother, in the wake of her daughter's death, Tina Meyer, created the Megan Meyer Foundation, which is entirely dedicated to ending bullying, cyberbullying, and suicide among teens. They have all kinds of information on their website to help people. So we got here because of technology, and we will continue to have to deal with, you know, the fallout of that, because I think a lot of times technology and so on is a step ahead of us, and we're just, you know, we're working to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're recognizing, wow, okay, social media has its positives, but it also has these negative potential which we need to figure out how to deal with. And a problem isn't a problem until we recognize that it is a problem. Mm-hmm. And then we can take the steps to alleviate that problem, right?
Yes, thank you for that. Thank you for giving us some advice, because I was going to ask you what kind of advice you had for parents who were concerned about the negative effects of social media. And you're right, this just kind of crept up on us as the web became available. There's so many advantages to it, and parents are pulled in so many directions that it's hard to take a look at everything that your child is doing. And so it's very complex, and there's a lot of layers to it as well. And there should be a way to get your book into the hands of every junior high student.
Well, I've been, some of my fans, which is so nice to have, they have said things like, every parent needs to read this novel, because I think it opens your eyes to what's there and what the potential is. And also, I think it starts a conversation. I've been part of a number of book groups that have read my novel, which, by the way, I'm very open to, because we can do these things long distance, thanks to technology. I can Skype into a book group. But people have said, they've either told me their own stories of their children or themselves who have been bullied. And the people who are older, who didn't grow up with social media, they said, you know what? I am so glad there was no social media back when I was being bullied, because at least at the end of the school day, I could leave. Mm-hmm. I could go home and I could get away from my bully.
Yeah.
But with cyberbullying, it's 24/7 and you can't get away mm-hmm. from it, which is why I think it has so much more devastating of an impact and why so many people have actually killed themselves as a result. And when I say that, you know, I don't mean to over-dramatize it, but certainly it is creating a lot of anxiety among children. And I think that they need our help in dealing with it.
It doesn't necessarily have to end in death, but just
exactly.
It's a slow death for a child to have to live every day of their life going through this. I've just discovered JOMO, the joy of missing out. And maybe
wow.
that's something we can help our kids with, that you don't need to be tethered to this. And there are other things that we could be doing throughout the day. So let's put down these devices and get out and take a walk and enjoy nature and spend some time with people that actually love you and make sense. So
exactly. So, I love that. That's,
yep.
that's fantastic.
Yep.
We need to take time to reflect and to have downtime.
Mm-hmm. This is obviously a topic we could spend the whole day talking about. Yes, but I think it's been very important that we bring this up. But is there anything that we missed that you would like to talk about today?
I love to hear from my readers. And finally, for anyone who does read books and loves them, we as writers are so grateful when you post something on Amazon or Goodreads or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very helpful to the writer. So thank you, everyone, for all of that.
Oh, that was awesome. Thank you. So there's two websites we can send folks to: your personal author website, which is Hertafeely. It's Hertafeely, Hertafeely.com. And your Chrysalis editorial. And I won't even spell that. Just you should know how to spell that, people. Chrysalis editorial.com. Again, Herta, thank you so much for sharing you and the work that you've done in your lifetime. Very, very important. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's been a pleasure.
Well, there you have it. Lots to think about and plenty to speak up about. I hope that as you listen to this program each week, you make a conscious decision to speak up about those things that may seem small, may not affect you right now, but somewhere in your heart and in your mind, you sense are not right. We can make changes, but not through silence. So join me and be a voice of reason. We are out of time, but certainly never out of topics. So be sure to come back next week and we will have some more goodies for you. Same time, same place, but you know me, never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice. What's that? You don't want to be locked in a cage while your human parents are out of town? I don't blame you. Hey, human, are you planning a business trip or vacation? Don't leave your cats alone to fend for themselves. That's not polite, and it's not safe. Most boarding locations only offer limited out-of-the-cage time. Wake up, cat. It's time for your allotted hour of playtime. Think of it! How confusing for your cat! Not a cat-friendly, healthy, or happy option. Well, Cats Inn on the Chagrin is a cage-free boutique overnight boarding and or daycare, we call it playcare, option for working or traveling cat owners. That's right, no one is ever caged. We don't even have any. At Cats Inn on the Chagrin, our goal is to provide your cat with a truly cat-centric experience and provide you with the peace of mind that your loved one is safe, happy, stimulated, and not locked up and alone. We are located in Chardon, Ohio, and you can find out more, plus view lots of pictures of our spacious accommodations at catsinonthechagrin.com. That's Cats Inn, I-N-N, as a hotel, catsinonthechagrin.com, or call me, Pat Rulo, at 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. I speak cat. You're welcome.